That beautiful. Get used to different. Get used to different. I want to just take a few minutes tonight because we promised you and we're going to keep our word. But I want to share a few things. I've been reading in Philippians and I want to give you some homework. Okay, everybody likes homework. To read, it's only four short chapters, but to read the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, if you'd read that over the holidays, it's just so rich. But it's also, I believe, helpful to prepare us for the coming days. Years ago, I was in a graveyard doing a graveside service, and it was back before marijuana was legalized. And I remember the smell of marijuana because it was an unusual service. I'd been called in by a friend to do this, and there were a lot of folks there that, were kind of from a background where they were, used to doing drugs, and that kind of thing. And so the smell of marijuana was in the graveyard. And I had just come from the funeral home where I got an opportunity to speak to the family and the people that were gathered. And I shared the gospel with them. And so in the graveyard with the smell of marijuana in the air, a guy comes over to me, part of this family. And he says, hey, were you recruiting back there? Were you recruiting back there? And I said to him, I said, Jesus has been calling people to follow him for over 2000 years to be followers of Jesus. And, so I want to share this scripture with you. It's very short, Philippians 3. You can read all of it another time, but I'm going to start at verse 12, Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And so I want to just talk for a few minutes from this passage. Paul here calls this talks about this calling of God, this call to follow him as a high calling. It's literally an upward call or an upper calling, and my translation says heavenward, and I like that. It's sort of like, heavenward. This is our calling. I told you I was going to tell you a story about being in the Czech Republic, and so Valerie and I visited. That's where my father's parents come from, my grandparents, and we went back to sort of kind of travel around and try to visit people and see where my grandparents grew up and all of that. So we were there. And while we were there, we had an opportunity to climb a mountain, the highest mountain in the Czech Republic. It's and there's a what's called a friendship trail that goes between Poland and the Czech Republic. And sometimes you're in Poland and sometimes you're in the Czech Republic, and it's called the friendship trail. And then it goes up the mountain. And so I come back after this trip and we were staying with a young couple, and he says, oh, you like mountain climbing? It's, oh, I love, I just love it. Now this trail was one of those trails that anybody could do. It was, a little strenuous, but not too much. And got up to the top and all that. But this guy, he says, when I said, oh, yeah, I love mountain climbing. So he takes me, we go for a drive. Valerie's with us and his wife is with us. And we go to this place and it's a rock face. One of these things that just goes up like this, straight up forever. Like it just, it just goes straight up like this. So I start climbing this thing with him. I mean, we're just doing it, we're not tied into anything. I'm following him and he's showing me, what to do. And we're getting up, and so far so good. Then he gets to this point where you have to cross over on the face and you gotta go over. And I'm thinking, I gotta let go here and grab hold here. Anyway, this guy had grown up on this, in this area, and he'd been doing this since he was a kid. And so he was going back and forth on this thing, showing me. Finally, I did it. I got across, went straight up. Valerie's on the bottom and she's praying. And she's looking up and she's getting smaller, and I'm getting smaller to her. And she says, Lord, should I be concerned? And she just begins to feel a bit of peace and a kind of a no, and went off, just anyway, we made it to the top. But that's my, Paul says in another portion, he says, set your hearts on things above. This is actually, this what I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes, and it really literally only going to take minutes to share, is probably one of the most important messages to my heart that I have received from the Lord, that I believe that this is so key to us going forward in the days ahead, you know. And so the Proverbs puts it this way. It says in Proverbs 15:24, it says, the path of life leads upward for the wise. The path of life leads upward for the wise. They leave the grave behind. Okay? There's so much imagery there, isn't there? They leave the grave behind. You know, you've heard the saying, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You've heard people say that, or it's a quote from history. Well, C.S. Lewis wrote this in Mere Christianity. He said, a continual looking forward to the external world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. Isn't that beautiful? The ones that did the most for this present world thought most of the next. Because we live with eternity in our hearts. We know that we are going to leave this life and go into eternity. But we also know that our days are numbered. And we live as though those days were numbered. And we don't know the number of our days. So Paul says, he talks about forgetting what is behind. So I want to just encourage you to let go of some things. That as we move forward and as we go into this next season, you let go of some things. And one of the things we need to do, Proverbs 4:23 says, one of my life scriptures, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the well springs of life. And people want to climb into your heart and they want to stay there. They want to get into the cells of your heart and they want you to lock them up in there and give them the once over every so often as you call to memory what they've done for you. Jesus said that we're to forgive just as he has forgiven us. That's the kind of the bar that's been set, that our forgiveness comes as a gift to others out of a gift that we've received. People don't deserve the forgiveness that we offer them. It's not because what they did to us didn't hurt us. It's because we have received freely of his forgiveness, and we offer that forgiveness to others freely. So I read years ago in Matthew chapter 6, I was reading the Lord's Prayer. And you know, after the Lord's Prayer, the only thing that is mentioned again that is repeated is forgiveness. The only thing he touches on after the Lord's Prayer again is that we are to forgive. And then in Matthew 18, it talks about how to forgive. And it talks about forgiving from our hearts. It's so important. Remember Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the well springs of life. If you have dead people in your body, you know, in your heart, that's what's going to flow out. But the Bible says in Matthew 18 that we are to forgive from our heart. It says to actually release, to forgive and to release. So we release people from our hearts. That's the true measure of forgiveness that we're called to. Now, we're going to conclude in a few minutes with God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And last week, we had the girls share the story of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. But the word rest back then meant to keep or to make. The word merry meant great and mighty. So the literal translation, or in the Old English, the way it should read is, God make you great and mighty gentlemen. God make you great and mighty gentlemen. Now, we were through 2020. 2021 and 2022, about to go into 2023. And I call those years, those 3 years, the making of men and women of God. They were making the makings of men and women of God. Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But then verse 29 says this, in order that for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Another translation says to become like his son, to become like his son. So, you know, I was with someone recently and they were going over some of the woes of their life and some of the disappointments of their life. And I said, you know, this is part of the making of a man of God. But I was talking to a woman. So I said, this was the making of a woman of God. These difficult things that you've been through, God has ordained that these things should be worked out of us in such a way that we become like his son. So Paul goes on, he says this, he says, looking forward to what what lies ahead. In fact, one translation says, my translation says, straining towards what is ahead. Straining towards, leaning into, not running away from it, not being fearful of it. Leo, I loved your testimony, leaning into this. And Paul says this, he says, I press on, I lean into this to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This is one of the most important scriptures. We are to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of us. What is that? This is the thing that we're to lay hold of. As we press on, we're to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. Part of that is found in Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, we are his workmanship. One translation says even masterpiece, and I love that because I believe that's true. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, I was born again. I came into the kingdom at the age of 17, but I believe that I was born for this day, that God knew that I would be alive today and that you would be alive today and that you were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And the Bible says that he has prepared beforehand good things for you to walk in. So there's a plan. I mean, in the early days, we had the four spiritual laws. God loves you and has a perfect plan for your life. And he does. He has a perfect plan. So Paul's practical exhortations. I want to just end with this. And this is in this portion of scripture. There's some practical exhortations. And we've been talking a lot as a congregation about strengthening, being strengthened and encouraged to go forward, strengthened and encouraged in order to face what is in front of us, because there will be challenges in the days ahead. But we will face those challenges. We will face those challenges. And I'm going to tell you how in these things, okay? So the first one is, he says, get along. And he's talking to the women here who are arguing with each other in this passage. And he says to them, get along, you know, get along. John, in his passage, he says, little children, love one another. This is a key. So three G's, okay? So you'll remember this. Get along. It's the first one. As we move forward, as we go into the next year, get along. You know, get along. Viktor Frankl, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, has this phrase. It's a bit of a tongue twister or something, but see if you can get your head around this. So live as if you were living already for the second time, and as if you acted the first time as wrongly as you are about to act now. Now, it's interesting. Right? Someone said there ain't no education in the second kick of a mule. So we have learned a lot as we go forward into the next year. So there are things we can carry. There's wisdom that God's given us. There's things that we can carry into the next year. So the first one is get along. The second is gratitude. Paul spends a lot of time talking about thanksgiving, about gratitude. He says in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoicing is linked to maturity. Thankfulness is linked to maturity. The people who've looked at this, they say that at the end of our life, our vocabulary should actually be getting smaller in the sense that thank you should be one of the things that just rises out of our hearts. Gratitude is one of the things that rises up. Thank you is a powerful phrase in words, and gratitude is incredibly powerful. And so moving into the next season, seek to get along with one another. The Bible says, as much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. I like the direct approach. I just walk towards people, you know, like that's a good approach to do. But you carry something as you walk towards that person. You carry a love, you carry a peace. So get along, gratitude. And the third one is, it says, Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. Who's the God of peace? The God of peace is Emmanuel, God with us. So there's the third G, God with us. I was in the woods recently and I'll conclude with this. Come on back up, guys, okay? I was in the woods, and I wanted to record a video. And so the video was for all those that I have had the honor to walk with through this last season of my life. And I wanted to just say a few words. And so I'm recording this video, and I kept getting interrupted. I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere. But this, I was on a path. It was a path that was left open during COVID. Now, this is significant because during COVID, they actually, on Moody Drive, there are several beautiful paths that I walk on, the Jack Pine Trail and so forth. They barricaded the entrances to those parking lots, you know, during COVID. But I had this other little place that I knew of, even closer to my house, and you turn in and you go down this little street and then you turn in, there's a little parking lot. And I remember driving up to that parking lot and finding that it wasn't blocked off. And I almost cried. You know, I was so happy. And that became, I just went almost every day I walked, you know, sometimes I meet people, sometimes I just walk. So I'm on this trail and I'm saying that as we begin to get ready to walk the trails that are ahead, the trails that we're leaving behind 2022, and we're going to walk into 2023. I said that I can't promise that we're going to be able to navigate ourselves in such a way as to avoid suffering. The difficulties are going to come, and even persecutions, and there'll be things that we will face. But I said that we will never face them alone. We will never face them alone. We will always walk with him. He will always walk with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And I told the story of Corrie ten Boom. And at the end of Corrie ten Boom's life, she was just such a beautiful lady. And if you don't know her story, you can look it up online. But Corrie ten Boom ended up, you know, hiding Jewish people during the Second World War, and then ended up in a concentration camp. And Corrie, at the very end of her life, such a beautiful lady, was being looked after by this younger lady. And Corrie, at this point, had lost her ability to speak. And she was suffering. She was older and she was suffering. But the lady that looked after her wrote and said that everything in Corrie, just everything in her being, just kind of spoke. Everything spoke that she was going to get through this, not somehow, but victoriously. She was going to get through this victoriously. And so I want to just encourage you, as we leave 2022 and we enter 2023 and we face all these kinds of things that are in front of us, we're not going to get without him. In fact, I read today, and I underlined it, it's in Philippians 4, verse 13. It says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. But I can honestly say that there's very little these days, very, very little I can do without him who gives me strength. And I'll say the same to you. There's very little you can accomplish without him who gives you strength. Amen. Amen.